Welcome again, everybody, to our Wednesday broadcast. It's Wednesday, April 29th, 2020. It's the last Wednesday in April. Hard to believe that we're almost through the entire month of April, headed into May. And this week, our governor did announce initial plans to reopen Ohio. We were all looking to see what he would do. And he has started out a plan to open things up. However, he kept the limit on gatherings of no more than 10 people. And he didn't say this week when that is going to be lifted, at least that I have heard. And so as we think about reopening here in Ohio, it looks like it's going to be a slow process. They're taking things slow. And, this has been a different time. And as we see the news every day, more and more we're seeing some of the true colors, I think, of many of the government officials around the nation. I think Ohio is better than some other areas of the country in terms of some of the restrictions that we're having to deal with. But it is tempting to complain and to speak out against our officials at this time because of their decisions. I think everybody is frustrated. Everybody wants to be back to normal. But as Christians, I think we need to maintain a respectful attitude towards our officials, towards the government. You know, we have some instructions in 1 Peter chapter 2. And in Peter's day, when he was writing that to the church of his day, the situation was probably even more severe than our situation today. And yet his words were to be followed by the Christians of his day. But 1 Peter 2:13 says, "Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors, as unto them that are sent by him, for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well-doing ye may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God." There's many factors that we have to consider as we move forward, and I would ask for your prayers for the Board of Elders. We are going to be meeting at the church tomorrow morning, and we're going to be considering our situation from many different angles. We're going to be looking at the state requirements and recommendations, insurance advice. Our insurance company, Brotherhood Mutual, and our agent has given some recommendations, also some legal counsel and financial measures, and just some practical steps to take for our church. I think there's probably going to be some safety and sanitary measures that we try to follow as we look towards reopening our church. And so we'll be looking at that tomorrow morning. I do want to mention one measure that could be taken. I'll just make this as a suggestion right now, is that we make hand sanitizer and masks available at the church. This week, Governor DeWine had initially made masks mandatory for everybody, even in retail stores, both the customers and employees. Then the next day, he backed down on that, saying that masks are just highly recommended for everybody. And, those items, the masks, the hand sanitizer, those are hard to come by lately. But I'll just give this as a suggestion. Both of those things are items that can be homemade. And perhaps some of you would be able to make them for the church just to have them available. There's many basic patterns that are available online, even some recipes for hand sanitizer. The CDC has a recommendation for at least 60% alcohol in that to kill most germs. But that would be just a simple thing we could have available as part of our strategy there to, have that for anybody that would want to use that when we gather. I'll be sending out the prayer request list and just encourage you to look that over and pray for those requests. There's some new and updated requests there. And please remember to let me know if you would have any updates or new requests that you want to put on the church prayer list. And we'll We continue to pray for one another in that way. Also wanted to mention that there is a new registrar for Pinal Bible Camp. As you know, Patty Perry was the registrar for something like 30 years at Pinal, and she went home to be with the Lord here just recently. And so there's another registrar, and her name is Ann Hill. In the newsletter this week, I put in her introduction note. She wrote a letter to everybody. And so she's going to be serving there as registrar at camp. It's an important position for the camps. And she just gave some reminders as well about the early registration is coming up Friday, May 1st. That deadline was pushed forward due to everything that's going on. It used to be April 1st, so it's May 1st, which is coming right up here. And so if you are planning to register for the youth camps or family camp, you get your registration in by that early registration deadline for the youth camps, you will get the free t-shirt if you register early. So you can do that by going to the website, PinalBibleCamp.org, or there are mail-in options. We have forms at the church. If anybody needs one, just let me know, and or you can download those forms off the website as well. We did receive another update from Diana Boss, missionary to Mexico, and she writes, "Dear Pastor Howard, thank you for your prayers. Praise the Lord with me that my computer is working again. Someone was able to fix it, for which I praise the Lord. Please continue to pray for Laura and me during this time of lockdown. Ask the Lord for continued good health. Also pray for Mary Jane and Julia for their spiritual growth. Pray with me for rain, as it is very hot and dry, 90 to 100 degrees in Mexico right now. Sincerely in Christ, Diana Boss."
We want to welcome a special guest to our broadcast here today. It's good to have Pastor Gossman on the phone with me here. Our pastor emeritus, thank you for joining me today, Pastor Gossman.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is good to be here. Be good to be together on the phone if we can't be together otherwise. So.
That's right. That's right. We have to do what we can here. And wanted to have you on here just to give us a personal update and also share a testimony with us and then lead us in prayer, if you would, please.
Okay. All right. Well, it's good to join with our Mara Bible family. We in these days that are much different than some of our other days, but one of the things that continually goes through my mind are some of the hymns that we've had those that have gone before us, as Pastor Howard has given us some of the situations that the hymn writers went through. It reminds us that these hymns that we have are hymns that come from personal experience. And one hymn that continually comes to my mind is one on our hymn book, "When Morning Gilds the Skies." That hymn starts out, "When morning gilds the skies, my heart awakening cries, may Jesus Christ be praised." And certainly we recognize that in him we live and we move and we have our being. And that hymn is just comes to my mind. It's one that is my wife and I worked in a little, assisted in a little mission church in up in the north part of Philadelphia. The pastor was another seminary friend of mine, and he always opened the service with that hymn. Another that continues in my mind, because we see the faithfulness of our God is as great as thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. To realize there's no shadow of turning, that he doesn't change. His compassions, they fail not. Pardon for sin, peace that endures, strength for today, and hope for tomorrow. I thank the Lord for hymns, these hymns that that we many times take for granted, but they remind us of the great blessings of our God. The other thing that certainly we miss at this time is the fellowship of God's people. From a child, being raised in a Christian home, we were always in church with God's people, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and if something else, or special meetings, it was none of them were missed, if at all possible. You know, God has given us the fellowship that we have together. I'm encouraged by faithful brethren, and over the years, when I see ones that have been faithful to the Lord for decades and over many years, and what a blessing that is. I'm encouraged when we see some of our church families where we see now the generations that are faithful. I'm encouraged by my Christian brethren that are repentant. When we fail and we go against the Lord, and then the Lord brings us to repentance. What a blessing it is to have a Christian brethren that see and will recognize the sin, and then the encouragement that there is of new believers and ones that come and are experiencing for the first time the blessings of our God. I think of this scripture in Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 that says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much more as ye see the day approaching." We really greatly miss that fellowship that we can have together and that assembly together. It's a blessing to be able to do some things apart and to communicate in other ways, but it doesn't take the place of that being together. I think of the Psalm of David, when David was, we know that there were many times of David when he was not able to be together with the Lord's people. And I think of the Psalm in 121:1 when he says, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And we certainly look forward to being able to be back together, and certainly we appreciate being kept up with the needs of God's people, and to be able to pray and the blessings that are there, but we look forward to that fellowship together, and certainly I think with David, I will be glad when they say unto me, "Let us go into the house of the Lord." And we thank the Lord for that fellowship and gathering. But you know, in these days, there isn't anything that surpasses the refreshment of God's word. The psalmist that said in Psalm 42:1-2, "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" There's just a special refreshment in God's word. What a blessing we have of being able to have a copy of God's word in our own homes, and we can... We have that blessing of the personal time with God and personal time in His Word, And then it's been a blessing, even though we've not been able to be together, to have the messages that Pastor Howard has prepared for us and given to us, and to be encouraged by God's word, and particularly passages that reveal the working of God in various times, and even in the midst of the plagues and such. And so what a blessing God's word has been in these days. We look forward to being able to sing the hymns together. We look forward to be able to be in fellowship together, to encourage one another, exhort one another. We look forward to being together under the preaching of God's word. And I certainly, and my wife, as we thank the Lord for these blessings that God gives us. And so the Lord has been very gracious to us, and we have both been in good health in these days, and we thank the Lord for the strength that He gives. So I'll just close in prayer, as we thank the Lord for our brethren. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the hymns that you have caused ones to set and to write out of their personal experience and out of their love for thee and understanding and seeing your work in their lives. And so we thank you for these great hymns of the faith that we have. And then, Lord, how we thank you for Christian fellowship. We thank you, Lord, for having brethren that are an example to us, having those that would exhort us and encourage us in times of our own personal need, and would pray for us. And Lord, and we can serve together with you, and we thank you, Lord, for that. And then, Lord, it's just a special thanks to you, Lord, as you know us, you understand us, and you have given to us and preserved for us your precious word, Lord, for the living word of our God. Thank you, Lord, for these blessings. And Lord, in the midst of that, I think of how we each one thank you for that salvation that comes through Jesus Christ alone, as we turn from ourselves and turn to Jesus Christ. And, oh, Lord, whether it be just a short time ago, or as I trusted the Lord many, many years ago as a child, Lord, certainly great has been your faithfulness. And I thank you, Lord, for your this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. We want to welcome our coronavirus chorus back today. Why don't you say hello, everyone?
Hello!
Okay, for our song today, it's going to be a familiar hymn, Trust and Obey. And I'm going to read the story behind this here. Daniel B. Towner, who wrote the melody to this song, inherited his love of music from his father, Professor J.G. Towner, a beloved vocalist and music teacher. While growing up, Daniel studied with some of the finest musicians available and began his career as a worship leader in a Methodist church in Binghamton, New York. He later served churches in Ohio and Kentucky before being tapped by evangelist D.L. Moody in the fall of 1885. For several years, Daniel traveled with Moody, singing and doing personal work. He once explained how this hymn came to be written. Mr. Moody was conducting a series of meetings in Brockton, Massachusetts, and I had the pleasure of singing for him there. One night, a young man rose in a testimony meeting and said, "I'm not quite sure, but I'm going to trust and I'm going to obey." I just jotted the sentence down and sent it with the little story to Reverend J.H. Sammis, a Presbyterian minister. Sammis wrote a poem based on the phrase, "Trust and Obey," and sent it back to Towner, who went to work on the music. Alfred Smith in his Treasury of Hymn Histories adds that while working on the music to Trust and Obey, Dr. Towner grew discouraged. That evening in his home, he crumpled up the paper and threw the manuscript into the wastebasket. The next morning, as his wife was straightening his office, she retrieved the crumpled paper and sang over the words and melody to herself. She left it on the organ and encouraged her husband to work on it some more, telling him, "I feel the melody you have written is just what is needed to carry the message." She was right. In 1893, Dr. Towner became head of the music department of the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago, where he trained hundreds of young people to lead worship and minister to the Lord in music. He wrote the melodies of some of our favorite hymns, including At Calvary, My Anchor Holds, and Grace Greater Than Our Sins. He also compiled 14 hymn books and wrote several textbooks.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, let the glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no
I just have a few minutes left here, and I'm limited somewhat in the time that I have. As we send these broadcasts out on CD, I try to get two broadcasts on one CD each week, and so I'm limited to 80 minutes total in that. So it can be a little bit of a challenge sometime, but I want to share just a brief devotional here from 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. This is a familiar passage, the story of David and Goliath. In 1 Samuel 17, God's people Israel were basically getting the wind knocked out of them. Philistines were gathered in battle against Israel, and they had a champion, Goliath of Gath, a giant who came and taunted and challenged them to a fight, a duel. He wanted somebody to come out and fight him. And it says in this passage that Israel was dismayed and greatly afraid as Goliath came out every day, taunted them. And then David came, entered the scene. He brought food to his older brothers in the army. And he saw that no one was stepping forward to face this giant Goliath. And we read about David taking the challenge, and he has nothing with him except a sling and five stones. And he speaks directly to Goliath that God was going to deliver Goliath into David's hand. I think in these days, we are a little bit like Israel. We are facing an enemy we don't know how to conquer. It's made us all afraid, confused, many of us angry. And yet, we need to see the faith of David here. We see David's faith in God in taking up this challenge, but also in his desire for the outcome. I want to point out David's motivation and his desire here. You know, his brothers questioned that. If you remember the story, they thought he just wanted to see the battle. They thought he was coming down to entertain himself. And yet David's desire was better than that. And he tells us his desire as he speaks to Goliath here in 1 Samuel 17, and verse 46, he's talking to Goliath, And he says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee, and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air, and to the wild beasts of the earth." And then here's his desire, his motivation: "That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." David's desire was for people to know something about God. That word "know" is repeated two times in those verses I just read. And to know is more than just knowing facts, being intellectually acquainted with something. To know in the Bible is to be acquainted with somebody in a relationship, to know another person. To know God is to be in a relationship with Him. It is to genuinely worship God. And oftentimes that knowledge is a knowledge that comes through experience. And people were about to go through an experience there in this valley as David faced Goliath. And people would come to know God through that. But notice the two categories of people that David wanted to know God. First, in verse 46, he said that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. David had everybody in mind as he stepped forward to face Goliath. Those Philistines were about to learn yet another lesson about the one true God. This was a critical moment in history. The nations all around Israel were in confusion. They were idolaters. They were polytheistic in their religion, many gods. But at this moment, those nations were going to get to see Israel's God, the true God. There's so many all around us that do not know God truly. Our world, our country is in great need of knowing the one true God. I saw in the news this week that the Muslim call to prayer is being broadcast in the city of Minneapolis, Minnesota. That's here in the United States of America that they're doing this during Ramadan, broadcasting that call to prayer through the streets of the city five times a day. Now, I wonder, will they also broadcast the reading of scriptures from the Bible from those same speakers? The Christian preaching from the Bible, would they do that? You know, our country is increasingly in confusion about the true God of the Bible. And yet our prayer and our desire should be that our country and all the earth would know our God and His Son, Jesus Christ, the only way of salvation. Our desire should be that our community would know that there is a God, and that Morrow Bible Church knows that God and believes that God. That was David's desire. And I wonder, perhaps God will show Himself in greater ways in coming days. I think we should pray for that. Our country certainly needs it. The world needs it. Our community needs it. That all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And then the second category for David's desire here as he faced Goliath was that this assembly, verse 47, "and all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." This assembly, Israel, God's people desperately needed to know something about God. They had not been thinking the right way about God, and David's desire was that that assembly, the people of God, would know something about God. What did he want them to know? That the Lord saveth not with sword and spear. There were a lot of swords and spears in that valley. That's what armies used to fight. That's what they used in that day and age when they did fight. They were the commonly relied upon weapons of war. Yet David knew that God was not limited to man's commonly relied upon weapons of war. You know, we are easily tempted to rely on the power and force of man. That power at this time may be our social distancing measures, our medicines, perhaps a vaccination that would be produced against the coronavirus, or whatever our government is doing, or what finances can do. God may choose to use some of those things to help to create a solution. God may not choose to use any of those man-made resources. In fact, the matter is, he does not need them. God is not limited to our displays of wisdom and force and power. The Bible tells us that God's weapons, often from a human perspective, are weak. Just like David standing there facing Goliath, and all he has is a sling and 5 stones. To the human eye, from the human perspective, that seems pointless altogether. Remember what the Apostle Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 27. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen. Yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. The Lord saveth not with sword and spear. That's what God's people need to know about him. That's what David wanted them to see as he faced Goliath. And then he also wanted them to know that the battle is the Lord's. The battle is under God's direction and will. The course of the battle, the way it goes, the results of the battle, they're all up to God. Here, David was giving God the credit for victory, even before God granted the victory. The battle wasn't over for David at this point. But David believed that the battle is the Lord's. God is in control. Could we say that the battle against coronavirus is the Lord's? Or the school year is the Lord's? Or the company is the Lord's? Or the church services are the Lord's? Yes. We should say that. We should think that, because it's true. They all of those things are his. And whatever he chooses to do, the Lord's will is done. And we can leave everything in God's hands. And God's people need to know that. That should be our prayer and desire. Of course, we know how the story turned out. God gave victory in a very great way. God allowed Goliath to fall before David. But no matter what happens for us at this time, our hope and our desire, our motivation should be like David's. That is to know God, that all the earth would know God, and that this assembly, the people of God, would know more about God, that he saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. May our prayer and desire be that for everyone, and especially for our assembly, people of God here at Morrow Bible Church. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, help us to come to know you through these very unusual events in our country. We pray for our country. We pray that they would come to know the one true and living God, that more would come to see their need of Jesus Christ. And may the events that are going on here in our world right now drive more and more people to you, the God of the Bible. And we pray for the people of God. We pray for this assembly. We pray that our confidence and our hope would be in you. Whatever measures that you would choose to accomplish your will. We pray that our desire and our motivation would be like David's here in this passage. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.